Hello, this is Jose and Bob.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Here we are with Classics at Josie's Cafe once again, and today we're talking about The Omega Man.
The Omega Man is a classic post-apocalyptic film filled with Charlton Heston and killer albinos.
That's right, people. Killer albinos. And this was written, it was made back in 1974, directed by Boris Segal. It's a movie based on what, Bob?
It was based on I Am Legend, written by Richard Matheson.
Ooh.
And then it was turned into a movie with Vincent Price.
Yeah, The Last Man on Earth.
And then it was, after that, it was made by Will Smith.
Willie Smith, y'all.
And getting jiggy in I Am Legend, which they took a little liberties with that.
Yeah, they did. Well, Omega Man did too.
Of course.
This is what we said.
Okay. Come join us, brothers and sisters, for the tar and feathering of the Omega Man.
Let's just start by saying that he's a total badass in this movie.
He'd pry the gun out of my cold, dead hands. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Granted, and I really like this movie because, it's kind of like if you took all the genres of movies that I like.
Yeah.
Your 1960s from the 1970s, done in Technicolor, just violence, random violence, little sex added on there, and it's basically like my favorite movie, basically. It's just, like, that's what I look for a movie. Just, you know, something just to pull me in, you know,
in
the right ways. And it kind of like, I actually had to, like I said, I totally had to watch it twice because we had to do this last week and then I forgot about it and watch it again. And of course, there's a part where I'm trying to watch as it work, and there's a part where, like, he's getting involved with that woman, and I was like, I gotta
oh, yeah, this. Yeah.
Make sure no one's think I'm watching smut, you know, just to, but it's like I said, it's kind of like all the things I like, but then of course it gets to the point where I'm like, they're trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course we'll get to that point though.
Okay.
But, but it's, of course, it's a lot of those tropes that a lot of people like, you know, I guess you could, would you call it post-apocalyptic, I guess?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like post-apocalyptic, or granted, there's no nuclear bombs, but it's the disease that wipes everybody out.
Yeah.
And has a, of course, I like the fact that they have that bad guy that they're kind of building up his rise to, when I was actually watching the movie, I was like, this movie is kind of very, it's kind of relevant today. Like, it's, especially with the whole anti-intellectualism, which when I was looking at my notes, I wrote anti-intellectual, I misspelled it, so I crossed it out. Then I wrote anti-intellectual, it's like, I realized it this whole night. And then I had to, like, look it up. Oh, that's how you spell it. Okay, I'm a dummy. That's what that is. But, and of course they have that, you know, of course they have the religious fervor, which is, would you call them zombies or vampires?
It was interesting, right? It's like weird zombie vampire thing going on.
Granted, they didn't suck blood, but they're more ghouls.
I mean,
like, what did they eat? Of course, granted, they think they just ate regular food, but that doesn't make them that.
What this movie does take certain liberties with this quote unquote zombie vampire thing, because all the other movies, they're creatures. They're just, they become something other than human.
Yeah, they were human.
Yeah.
Now they're, I guess you'd say creatures, or at least other beings other than, but
right.
These guys are just
albinos.
Yeah, they're just
religious
exactly.
Albinos.
Religious
cult.
You know, zealots. Religious zealots. They don't have any special powers. If anything, they're weaker than humans. They're like, oh, the sun. You know.
So I just thought how funny it was that Nate's losing his, he's losing his shit over there.
Like, how bad? Honestly, they're worse than humans. They're just like, you can kill them with a UV flashlight. That's not really great. They're not super intellectual beings.
Well, they're the opposite.
No, they're
really
they're
the opposite.
Just like,
they're both dum-dums.
We have a vitamin K deficiency.
They really, what's happened? what's happened is they've really degenerated.
Yeah.
Into back into the. The days when they would
the Dark Ages, basically.
The Dark Ages, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
they're like, oh, we've got scabies. Because
what I kept thinking is they degenerated into the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, basically.
And if you notice, you know, Charles Hesson's character in his apartment, he's like a Renaissance man. He's like this scientist, was part of the military, and he's playing chess with his...
With Caesar.
With Caesar.
Caesar, yeah.
He has all this fine art around him, and he's a man of science.
Yeah. And, of course, I like that scene where he goes and he crashes his... What was he driving? He was driving a...
An Oldsmobile? A Mustang.
No, he drives off in a Mustang. I'm talking about the red car. Remember?
The big, giant red car.
I want to say maybe a Caddy, maybe?
Yeah, it looks like... Yeah, it's one of the... I mean, it's equivalent.
Yeah. And then, of course, he crashes it, and then he's like, there's never a cop around. He sees the gold bars and on the ground. That's what...
He's having a Wilson moment.
Yeah.
Before Wilson. Castaway before Castaway moment.
And, of course, there's a lot of parts of the movie he's just talking to himself, because, honestly, who else is talked to? You know, there's nobody else to talk to.
He's looking at the mannequins, trying to get his nut off.
Yeah, like, he's like... I like the ogling the girly... calendar, you know, like,
and he gets upset at it. He's like,
these balls are so blue. God damn it. And, of course, I have to admit, some of those albinos are kind of fine. So,
Can't
get some albinos. Anyway, there's a lot of that. And, of course, he's, you know, like, as the religious zealots, the albinos are like, very Luddites, where they're the technology. Of course, granted, I like the fact that they're trying to attack him with all this, like, bows and arrows and rocks and stuff. And I think they made not a trebuchet. They made a catapult to hurl shit at his window.
I wonder how long it took, because he's been there clearly a while. So it must have taken a good amount of time for them to figure out without any technology.
Yeah, and you think they would have been some kind of schism in the albino church. Or like, no, the trebuchet, that's also technology.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that we're wearing a polyester blend cloaks, that should also be like...
Like a no-no.
A no-no, yeah. Because we should just be wearing loincloths like the freaks we are and live in the sewer. That's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
But they get really... the religious fervor, that kind
of
guy.
I mean, that's really what more of a director thing, I think. That's what he wanted to address. I think for me it felt like, ooh, science versus religion.
Yeah, definitely. Because honestly, they're always at a... And of course, in this movie, they don't really make it things very subtle. They just crash right into it.
Especially with the music. Every time you see... these occult creature things come up, it's just like the organ comes in.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in Sunday mass, like, all right.
That's right, brother. He smells of oil. He smells of electricity. Shun him the way of the, like, you know, the man.
Oh, and he's wearing glasses, too.
Yeah,
the head honcho thing.
Well, they're all wearing shades because they all have a...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because they have the marks, the pretty, pretty marks. Yeah. There's, I admit, for a... It's not my favorite movie, but it's very, very quotable. It is. It's just...
Oh, God. Yeah, we need to rewatch it with drinks. That'd be great.
But, yeah, the Luddites, of course...
Going back to how you said there's... it's just very blatant. I just love how, out of everything that Charles Hesson can wear, when he gets captured, he's wearing this outfit that resembles, like, something off the 1700s.
Oh, the puffy shirt?
Yeah, the puffy
shirt. Yeah, well, that was the big thing back then.
No mystery. There's no mystery. That's just, all right, I see what you're doing here.
What, do you think they're actually going directly the...
To 1700,
1700
yeah.
puffy shirt with the Inquisition? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess, I never really... I just thought it was just being just weird 1970s fashion where, like, yeah, let's just wear that puffy shirt.
No. I think he considered himself as, like, the Renaissance man, and I need to keep this alive with all the art and all the, you know, all the stuff that he's part of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And which is way different than all the other movies, because in this movie, this man is cultured, obviously, and with the Vincent Price movie, Vincent Price is more of, like, a lonely man, just, like, pathetic lonely man, you know? It's just really boring to watch. But Charles Hesson is pretty fun to watch because he's kind of like you said, like he's talking out loud to people as if they're there. He's just...
Or when he's watching a Woodstock
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the movie, and he's just, like, repeating. You could tell he's watched that movie so many times.
Yeah.
Heard he's just repeating the words of what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, granted, that's probably the only movie they have there, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
not to mention the nudity, so it's just, like, that's.
Yeah, he probably. Yeah, well, like we all know what goes down every night. Just. It's alcohol and some lotion. I mean,
from my cold, dead hands. of course, also, I.
Nate's losing it right now.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
But, of course, I like to also like the whole, the, especially the cinema during the 70s, they kind of add that little dash of blaxploitation to it.
Yeah.
Of course, granted, I love that actress. That actress was good.
Oh, yeah, she was awesome. I like the part how, because during the 70s, I guess, you know, you have this women's rights movement going on, and mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, you're not going to pull off that James Bond shit.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right. And I'm like, okay, I see the movie, and she's the one on the motorcycle.
Yeah, and he's like, hang on, baby. And I was just like, ugh. You know, they just...
Yeah.
Like, make it like you're cool and hip, Charles. That's right, I hang out with the Negroes. Like, yeah, what, Charles. Yeah.
I wonder how many times they had to do that line.
That's right, baby. No, Charles, you're cool. You're got. That's right, baby. No, it's... Like, eventually you're going to get into her pads, Charlton. Okay, that's right, baby. That's good enough, Charlton.
Just
get on the bike and...
Just get out of there. Just,
stunt doubles, get on the bike.
Let's go. Let's get it moving.
Yeah.
I mean, she played hard to get until he's finally helping her son. And when, like...
Well, no, her brother.
Is it her brother?
I thought it was her brother.
Yeah, okay, let's just say her brother. That makes sense. Okay, so it's her brother, and as soon as he starts to get a little bit better, she's all like, "Oh yeah,
get up on
let's
this.
Let's do
this." Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Yeah, well, honestly, I
to
think
let
since
your guard down.
I think it's either that or Dutch, and Dutch seems kind of like Dutch is the other guy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because when he first gets saved and he goes into this, we'll call it a commune.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, this guy's getting all the ass, I guess.
Yeah, well, at least, like, come on. He's riding around on his motorcycle with a jacket and no shirt.
Yeah, no shirt, yeah.
Yeah, and with the finger, red finger on his back of his jacket. That dude got all the pre-med puss.
Exactly.
That guy was, and you would, in the 1970s.
And you would think.
Especially after Easy Rider, man, he's just crushing
it. Right, exactly. He's crushing it. But you would think he'd be intimidated by the doctor coming to town, and he isn't. He's just more like, Stargaze, like, oh, I remember you. And he starts blurring out some medical terminology and stuff.
Yeah.
What happened with all that? Like,
I don't know. Maybe he was just stoked to have another dude around instead of the kids. Like, man, I could finally talk to, you know.
It's finally someone to talk to.
Yeah. If I could. And if anything, it's probably like the woman, too. She's probably like, think about it. Imagine if you're stuck with a bunch of children and maybe like a 20-year-old, and you're just like, oh, like, especially if you're like a 30-year-old, and you're like, ah, it's just. Stuck with all his kids. And then all of a sudden, like, someone of your age appear. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, see?
I guess so.
Yeah, and then the Dutch is because it's you know, some kind of fatherly figure kind of comes in. And,
true.
Know, yeah, see, that's, it works out. Works out, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, see.
For a little bit.
For a little bit, until the end of the movie, which, like, okay.
Let's start with the references here.
Okay.
You want to do that? Or what else do you have on your list?
Well, no, I actually want to talk to him, like, when it stops becoming I Am Legend and just goes straight to the Bible story. That's
okay.
What I want to get
into. Yeah.
Like, because honestly, like, if you actually read the book, the I Am Legend, the book ends is when he's executed, and then that's the end of the book.
Yeah.
But here he gets, like, midway in the movie, he gets rescued, and then the whole... And then they really kind of drive up the whole, like, Bible metaphors.
Oh, yeah, with him on, like, arms wide open. And
yeah, like, okay, that. Like, first of all...
And the,
like,
blood of Christ and all that.
Exactly. Well, no, okay, they even, like, since I watched it twice, I've noticed a lot more references. Like, they're talking the vaccine. He says, Christ, you can save the world. And I was just like, that's kind of on the nose.
Yeah.
Just kind of just throwing that out.
Yeah.
What else I got here? Since of course, then the little girl, she's like, Like, is it true?
I got that.
Yeah. And then, of course, is it true that the people in black are going to take Richie's skull and, you know, they're going to take him down to the devil? You're not going to do that? And, of course, the Charlton's like, no. And the little girl asks him, are you God?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, that's more kind of...
Yeah. And the way that I saw it is the director's kind of sees this guy, like I keep saying, a Renaissance man, a man of science. And so there's a couple things that you can read up on that. I mean, are we saying that science is the next idea of God? You know, is this our new God? Is this our new path? A new path of enlightenment, so to speak? That's just a question, right?
The
little girl's asking it, but really reality, and if we follow that trend, for some people, God is dead if we keep going and becoming men in science. But now does that make these people God because now they can do all this with science? You know what I mean? Like, they can cure, they can create.
So technically, does it flip it back where the Luddites are denying God because they deny science itself?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is. Huh. I never actually thought about that.
Because he has, you know, he has his blood. He has blood that he can cure everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And ironically, the Luddites don't accept this as something that can help them.
They're kind of like the Jews. And I'm talking about a very biblical, like, Christ story, not like some kind of anti-Semitic thing. But,
explain it.
Okay, like, explain it? Like, well, no,
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
If, you know, since, you know, we're Catholics, at least, raised Catholics, you know, the crucifixion, Jesus, and, you know,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, right?
I got you.
You know what I'm
I
talking about?
You.
How
gotcha.
The Jews delivered Jesus to Pontius Pilate. And
I
then,
see.
Yeah.
And, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I was thinking more like that, not like some kind of weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. So.
Not like the Jews.
But, yeah, and of course, granted, I would... Would Matthias be Pontius Pilate? No, he wouldn't be Pontius Pilate, would he?
Damn, we're getting deeper here.
Well, because I busted out like Richie's like I was okay. They have Charlton Heston. He's Christ.
He's
right?
Christ. Okay, you know, okay. I see
right?
what you're saying. Yeah,
you know, dies on the cross.
Yeah,
they stab him with a spear on his side. Well, in his chest, not in his side.
Right.
And then he dies in the he delivers his blood to save the world.
Yep.
You know, he dies in the literal Christ, Jesus Christ figure when he's in the blood. When Lisa, she's in her cloak and she's at his feet, like Mary, you know, at the base of the cross. Of course, Matthias is, you know, he's a religious fervor, but he's also the father of lies because obviously, you know, with the being the media. And for Dutch, I didn't figure out if he was... if it was actually John the Baptist or Peter.
I would see him, well, I personally see him more as Peter.
Yeah.
Because he's the
Peter?
Rock.
Yeah.
He's the one that keeps the thing going.
Yeah. You know, after he's crucified kind of thing. That's so, like, it was just a, let's see my notes. John the Baptist. And of course, like, did I say Richie's Lazarus?
No.
Because obviously he was going to come back. Of course, they did kill him afterwards anyway, but, you know, spoiler, by the way, if you haven't seen a 40-year-old movie. But after that, I was just like, man, they just kind of... Oh, and the hat, she takes his hat and, of course, she puts it on there. That's more like the crown of thorns.
Oh, dang. Yeah, they didn't think about that. Yeah, you did go all...
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things where I was just like... And I think I want to say they did the whole Luddite thing just so they could kill him with the spear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to say that they wrote that in there just so they could just...
Yeah.
Yeah, put that in there. And, of course, after that was, you know, after I watched it the first time, I was like, man, they really kind of just ham-fisted all these, like, biblical references, like, all into this movie kind of thing. Of course, granted, that was kind of the thing in the 70s, so.
Well, yeah, Charles Heston, I mean.
The Ten Commandments
come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was expected.
He went from Moses to, you know, playing Jesus himself, so.
Yeah. I mean, I got some Bible. I got some Bible references, especially when he's leaving the first time with the... to go save his, what was her name?
Elisa. Yeah.
He goes to go get the kid, and he's leaving, and they're all ready, getting ready to go. They're like, they're all happy, you know, they're all singing, getting ready to like go to paradise, so to speak. And then Dutch kind of gives him a little, he says something in reference to like Genesis.
Oh, it's going to be a new world, man.
Yeah.
And we'd start, you know, Yeah, yeah, I remember that. You said it's going to be a brand new world, you know. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And there's no going to be no goddamn snake. That's,
exactly.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Exactly. And there ends up, and it does end up being a freaking snake. I don't know if, but you know, it's weird how it ends up being an innocent kid. Like, that's the coolest thing about the movie is that this kid, when they're on the rooftop, this kid gives him an ultimatum. He says,
either cure him or kill him, damn it.
Yeah, do something about it. And Charles Heston is kind of just jaded, just like, well, you know, I don't even know if blood, kid, you know.
Yeah, and of course, granted, I would, because I was kind of thinking about the part. Honestly, it would be better for him to, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was more like, it was just Charlton Heston just for, not, I wouldn't say he was forgiving him, but the fact that he was like, you know, because most of the movie, he's just trying to go out and just killing them. So now he's kind of more of trying to, instead of killing people, he's trying to, like, rescue these people from, you know.
Yeah.
Much like, you know, Moses, you know, taking the slaves out of Egypt. Okay, man, we're just going
dude,
a little too far.
Dude, no,
yeah.
This is good.
Yeah?
This is all good.
Right, all right. But, of course, then goes, you know, either kill him or, of course, then Richie, dumb Richie, you know, after they just save him
he
from...
He tries to go talk to them. And,
yeah.
Oh, hey, guys, so we got a... We got this thing that might make you normal, and so, yeah. And they're like, who sent you?
Yeah, and of course...
Nobody.
Yeah, and of course, granted, imagine if, you know, they made them normal. You know, they wouldn't have in their crazy religious cult. They'd be, you know, just be normal schmucks. You know,
exactly.
They still want to go around burning, you know, books every night. And I don't know. What do you think the albinos do for, you know, other than book burnings and burning stuff? What do they do, like...
I don't know.
I can imagine it's really, really boring.
I mean...
You're that or mass albino orgies. Either way.
they're just so sexually deprived that I think they do it.
You think so? You think they, like, flagellate themselves?
Yeah.
And, like...
They do all that weird shit. Yeah.
That's why they wear the cloaks.
Well, because yeah. I think really what the director's trying to say is that he's really comparing these to real people. That's why they weren't necessarily monsters. These are just real people with the... It's just an idea.
Yeah, either that or they just, you know, just had a really low budget and they just couldn't, you know, do anything.
True. But with all the religious thing going on, I kind of think that's... He wanted to be more of an intellectual movie than anything else instead of zombies. I mean, come on, man. They made Night of the Living Dead with a shoestring budget. They could have done something.
They could have, yeah.
So I think it's just they took liberties on that. I personally think... I understand what they were trying to do. It just kind of, to me, it got a little stale a little bit. It was just too much religion versus science. Religion versus science towards the end. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Well, and especially like at the end, like I said, they're just really kind of just
overkill
just,
right
just
there.
Just shoehorning it in there.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. You just got to one of those things where, like, you know, I said, don't get me wrong. I like Charlton Heston, like the action.
Dude, that guy, yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, but of course, like I said, they really kind of, I don't know. Like I said, they really kind of just, hey, by the way, you know.
And I just want to say.
Bible stories.
The
no.
Bible stories. Welcome to Bible Stories featuring Charles Heston.
Just let my people go.
But I just think the climax of the movie, how they're just finished banging and then his lights go off. He's like, oh, the generator. Oh, I just...
Well, no, they haven't started banging. They haven't, they're about to bang.
They're about to, oh, okay.
And remember, then he's like, oh, the generator goes and ba-ba-ba. And then, of course, the
one of the albinos.
The albinos. And of course, I like the fact that he's got like a 45, like 1911. Because he honestly doesn't really buy all this, you know, religious fervor. He just wants to kill Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
And live in his fat pad kind of thing. What's the word? And of course, that sets up the whole spear scene at the end. So
yeah.
And of course, the real climactic part when Lisa finally changes into the, like, thing.
She goes shopping and comes back
And she takes off the... Of course, granted, I noticed it. The fact that, like, after they finish banging, the curtains are open. And then she, she closes them because she's like, ah.
Oh, really?
She closes them.
Oh,
up.
That was a little hint there.
That was a little hint that she was fixing change because she was photo. Yeah, she's becoming photosensitive.
Dang, I missed that totally.
Yeah. See, and then of course the whole part where they, of course they wanted the big reveal where she takes off her.
Yeah.
What's the head wrap thing going? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, like I said, she like said they're kind of really setting up for the Mary Magdalene, you know, because you know she had her. What you believe in, you know, but in course, especially since she was at his feet after he was crucified, or at least after he killed on the weird sculpture thing. So yeah,
but over interesting.
It's not bad, but I mean, granted, like I said, Jesus Christ, and that's actually the rest of my notes. Just like after the whole religious thing, I was just like, come on. I would really like to see like if they actually make the movie just really true to the
to
the original book.
Some of these. Yeah. I think the closest one that got to it was the Vincent Price movie, but unfortunately, that's like the most boring movie if you watch all of them. I Am Legend, yeah, I guess, but they take a lot of it out, especially the ending. The ending's totally crappy compared to the book. I mean,
no, I want to see some guy who's just pumped to killing vampires, and he accepts like, that's right, I'm your boogeyman. I'm evil. I am decadenced. I am legend. And then that's how it ends with him being, you know, hauled away to, I guess, whatever they're, you know, I guess. So, yeah, that's what I took it out. I mean, granted, like I said, I did have to read it twice, so.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this movie, you could watch this movie by itself without lumping it into these other movies, for sure. Because it goes so far. It goes so far into the, like, we'll call it Bible stories now.
Yeah.
That it's really Last Man on Earth, but it's just, I mean, this director, you can tell that he's just, like, totally, I kind of felt like he's totally, like, this atheist director that was, like, you know, screw religion, this is why it sucks, and
really,
or at least Catholic.
No, I would say it's probably Catholic. And, of course, granted, they want to do the whole science thing, but honestly, especially with all the religious, like, I think it's more one of those things where they wanted at least kind of like that positive side of, like, you know, like, religion's good, so is science, you know. And, of course, they could honestly, actually, you could probably say that, the fact that religion can be used for good and science can be used for good. It could also be used, you know, religion could be also bad and science could also be used for bad, the fact that they're living in a, a society wrecked by science, basically.
Yeah, I think you're right, because now that I think about it, when they're in the rooftop with the boy says, at times you scare me as much as Matthias does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a good point in the movie when we realize that, you know, maybe we need to find a balance some sort of way, because there's two opposite extremes, and maybe that's what they're trying to say. Only because, you know, the boy is an innocent boy.
Like, it's a third party. It really
third party,
kind of an
yeah.
outsider, really.
And so he's seeing this, and he's just saying, man, you know what? You're as crazy as that guy. And maybe that's the point of the movie. I don't know.
No, that seems it.
Because before that, he was just killing everybody. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, yo, you guys are dumb. We need to get rid of you.
Well, honestly, if you had a bunch of crazed albinos after you as well, don't you think you would kind of...
Well, I mean, they're not crazed albinos, let's just say that, but...
Okay, fine, they're not crazed, not like albinos. Yeah, but, you know, they are...
In today's days, you do have... I think sometimes we get a bit cynical. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, the guys who knock on your door, you know, the people that... Okay, I'm fucking saying it. Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, like, we get
any kind of religious organization that goes to your house, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, thank you very much, and to wake you up, like,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
And we become very cynical, and we're like, oh, you know, all those people, you know.
Especially with those, you know, at least I have a problem with, like, these mega churches.
Oh.
And, you know, they're raking in millions of dollars tax-free.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Hurricane Harvey?
Yeah, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, of course, like I said, but, you know, religion does do good. I mean, they do set up charities. They do set up hospitals. You know, of course, same thing with science. Science could also do very good. you know, like, honestly,
they both have good qualities, because I mean, in the churches, it's about community, really.
Yeah,
it's proven science. Actually, it's funny. It's proven science that what works in churches is the community aspect of it all. But here's the funny thing, man. Now that I'm looking at my notes, we talked about the boy.
Okay.
Here's another thing.
All right.
When the boy goes searching, I think he's more about, like, trying to search what works for him. So let's kind of think about it.
That makes me sad, huh?
Right?
Yeah, like he goes searching and then they kill him. Yeah.
Exactly. He gets totally, like, just... the reason I bring that up is because we look at today's times, and I mean, not just religion, but so many other things that are out there that can put you into a hole. Like, you can get stuck in becoming this anime enthusiast or something, or a specific type of genre, or, you know, you become fixated with bowling, you know, or there's so many traps, I want to say.
I'd hate to, because, you know, so many people fell into that downward spiral of bowling. Just, well, man, I just...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I'm going to the alley every weekend, and I'm picking up lot lizards. And just
here's my point, though.
Picking up alley trim.
So here's my point. For me, I'm trapped. I'm trapped in playing guitar, right?
Okay.
Right. I get what you're saying, but for me, these things are innocent.
Okay.
What's not innocent is whenever you obviously get trapped in a fucking cult, like Scientology and shit. And you're like, oh, you're trying to find yourself, and then you're in a fucking cult, and then you're drinking fucking Kool-Aid, and the whole fucking thing is being burned. That's what I'm trying to...
I have to say, there is quite a leap from, like, just playing guitar.
Oh, no, I know.
But, it, like, of course, granted...
But my thing is, going back to this boy, he's trying to search what works for him. So those are the pitfalls that I'm talking about, where you have to be careful in what you do, because... I mean, if you go and you become a guitarist, or if you go bowling, I mean, you're fine. But to a kid, he doesn't know any difference from doing that than becoming part of this quote-unquote cult that takes you bowling and teaches you guitar for free, because that's what they do.
Yeah, I almost fell into that. Yeah.
And then you fall into a pit trap, which might not be as extreme as drinking the Kool-Aid and passing out and dying.
You're indoctrinated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're just there for life, and then you're stuck, and then you wake up at 30 and you're married with kids and you're part of this thing, and you're like, how the hell did I get out of here? You know what I mean? Like, that I feel like that's the scariest part about everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
So this kid that's trying to find himself.
Okay, go back to Richie. Okay, bring him back.
That's what happens to him. He's like, you know what? You're as crazy as Matthias. I'm gonna go check out what this guy's doing. And
even
then,
though you just saved my life. And I already just came out of Matthias because they tried to kill us because they were albinos, killer albinos. But, you know, I'll give him a second chance. Richie's a dummy. That's what he is. I'm going to say it right now. You know, they just they escape the killer albinos. And is this thing? Okay, this is hard. They want to escape, you know, they escape the killer albinos. And they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe they're not so bad, even though Charlton just saved them from the, you know. And then, I don't know, just... It was kind of mad. I was like, oh, God damn, Rich. You know, just...
Well, yeah. Well, see, that's how I felt, too. I was like, if these... He's just representative of all these dummies out there, man. Come on.
Yeah, see? He's just...
Let's be real.
If he just chilled out, rode his bike, got back, like he was, he would have been living.
And how old was he? He was, like, 14 or something?
14. And then he would have spent the rest of the time in a mountain... with a bunch of teenage girls, which there was
making
a bunch of
babies. They need to repopulate the world.
Yeah, and he's the only game in town, baby. He would have been, and no.
You gotta mess it up, man.
Dumb Richie, you know, his stupid brain got in the way. Yeah, see? That's
just... Yeah, I think that's the whole movie right there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Dumb Richie.
That's
just rename it. Omega Man featuring Dumb Richie.
Dumb Richie doing the stupid face.
God
yeah, that's
damn.
Right.
And with that, fellas, that's the Omega Man. Before we leave, overall, I mean, did you like the movie? I watched it two times.
I rented it twice. So, yeah, no, I did. And of course, granted, like I said, I like the music, that 1970s style music, the action. The action's pretty good.
Yeah.
Of course, like I said, it's the message is kind of a little bit ham-boned.
Yeah.
You know, just rammed in there.
I agree.
But it's a pretty good popcorn movie. It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you consider it to be a classic movie? Do you hold it in high regard?
I don't know if I can call it a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I like Charlton Heston, and like I said, I like most of the things about that movie. But, yeah, I guess...
It's a B movie.
Yeah, and it's pretty much... Movie. Yeah, it's a high-class B movie, I guess. Yeah, B+. Right?
B+. B+. So, check it out. I mean, it's a fun ride. I mean, if you guys drink alcohol, I mean, I recommend it. Drink every time he drinks. Drink every time.
Well, no, like, say, if you want to see just, like, a 1970s just movie with pretty much everything, you have the blaxploitation.
Yeah.
You have, you know, the horror aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, people dying in the streets.
Yeah.
You know,
Book burning,
you know, fascism. We also have religious zealotry, you know, and we have stupid Richie. Which is, but honestly, yeah, it's pretty good.
Should have stayed a zombie, man.
Should have. You know, I don't know. I don't know if he, you know, he just listened to, you know what? Listen to your elders. That's what it's trying to get to.
That's what it says. Yeah. Listen to your elders.
If not, you're going to be killed by albino zombies. Yeah.
All right, guys. So that was the Omega Man. Thanks for listening. We're going to talk about more classic movies. On the next podcast, we'll be talking about
Zaytoichi. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. We're totally going backwards to 1964.
Yeah. And then our special guest, buddy Nate Doug from the Blender Special.
What's going on?
So stay tuned, guys. Right. Should be up here in just a little bit. Follow us on Facebook. Should be Classics at Josie's.
And,
I'll erase that. I'll just be like, all right, good night.
Just follow us on the Twitters and the YouTubes and the blah, 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 and the whatever facial media. Social media, you know.
Cue in the music.